Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is the 23rd episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled The Forgotten, air date originally October 8, 1992. The title picture is a black and white silhouette of a fence with barbed wire. And we also get harmonica music. I don't know, it's really weird. It sounds like Roseanne. Are we watching Roseanne? Is that what's happening here? Alright, we start off in a homeless shelter in what I'm sure is Crime Alley. And Bruce Wayne is helping the priest who runs the shelter bring food and start cutting up some potatoes. When the priest starts mentioning how people have been disappearing, but the police won't help because disappearing homeless people aren't important. But, I don't know, maybe, hey, let's find this missing homeless guy, or hey, let's stop the Joker from killing half the city with a gas bomb this week. So, I don't know, sorry there, Padre, but they may have some higher priorities here. So, I think there's a really big missed opportunity here, though, as I would have loved the priest here to have been Priest Michael Stromwell from the episode It's Never Too Late. I think it would have been something small, but a great reward for those watching every episode day after day. But they didn't go for it. Bruce Wayne goes home, and he uses makeup and hair color spray. Like, he sprays something on his hair, and all of a sudden he has white hair. To look like a homeless man. And then he drives around town looking for clues. He walks down an alley where he finds a black car. I'm sorry, he finds a black cat, not a black car. A black cat. Then two men approach him and ask if he is looking for a job. They try to assault Bruce, but Bruce beats them with his hands literally in his pockets. And then Bruce is distracted by the cat when a third man sneaks behind him and clobbers him with a club to knock up Bruce. So Bruce wakes up in some sort of camp and he finds that he's shackled to the bed. And then two of what appear to be prisoners introduce themselves. Dan Reilly, a strong, physically fit black man, who earlier in the episode the priest mentioned was one of the volunteers at the homeless shelter. And Selvo Smith, who is our wisecracking, he's like this skinny, wimpy white dude, but he's our comic relief for the episode. They ask Bruce what's his name, but Bruce can't remember. He can't remember anything, it seems. So, hey, we got our conflict for the episode. Bruce and the rest of the inmates are being served some sort of green water to eat when we see a huge, overweight fat man in a white suit come out. And he is angry because no one is working. One of the guards explains that the prisoners have to eat. And the fat man gets even angrier, saying that he is the only one who should eat. Everyone else needs to be working. The fat man tells everyone to work, or they'll end up like some random guy that he picks to make an example out of. Now, Bruce tries to interfere, but he is held back by Dan. Now, the random man gets put inside a metal box and locked in. The fat man tells everyone to get to work, or they'll all roast. And, of course, this big fat man has, like, triple chin, like the little cowardly fat man mustache, and he's super sloppy and gross and disgusting. But you know what? To be honest, he's so generic, it might as well have been the Penguin in this story. Because other than just being a slob, there's really nothing else that makes him stand apart from just generic bad guy. Back in Wayne Manor, Alfred enters Bruce Wayne's room to take him his breakfast. But he doesn't find them there. And this raises suspicion in Alfred. He says that only Dracula and vampires hate the light more than Batman does. So, I don't know. I've seen Batman work in the daylight before. I don't know what he's talking about. Back at the prison, and everyone is being made to dig in a gold mine, it appears. And Bruce asks Dan and Selvo what brought them there. Dan explains that he was a volunteer at the shelter, and he was kidnapped by two men. Now, hearing the word shelter triggers something in Bruce, but before he can think any further, there is a cave-in. Selvo gets trapped under some rubble, but he is alive and well. Dan and Bruce get him out. Back in the Batcave, Alfred is still waiting for Bruce and He decides to check the garage, and he notices that a car is missing. He activates the tracking device, and he sees that the car is at a shipyard. So, we go back to Bruce, and he is walking in a hallway full of mirrors that make him seem deformed in various ways. Like, he's, like, short in one, he's really skinny in one, he's really fat in another. And one of the mirrors has him dressed in his regular suit, not like the homeless version we're seeing. And Bruce Wayne starts to laugh at homeless Bruce until Bruce Wayne regular morphs into the Joker, and he reaches from the mirror to pull the homeless Bruce in, and they ball, and when he pulls him in, they both fall from a skyscraper. Now, side note here, Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, tries to do his best Joker impression, and I'm sorry, but it's really just awful. So, look, just listen. Seriously, that was just bad. What was with... Yeah, that's not good. So Joker and Bruce fall into a pit of fire, and Bruce is warped into an alleyway where a homeless person asks him for money. He gives the man a dollar, but then he is approached by another person, and he gives them a dollar, but then he's overwhelmed by hands just asking for money, and then Bruce stands solemnly while one tear runs down his cheek. So, okay, I guess this is where South Park got its idea for their homeless Day of the Dead parody. Got any change? I know if there's South Park fans out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Thought that was a hilarious episode. Bruce wakes up screaming, and he still has the family shelter on his mind. Like, the word just keeps repeating in his head. So we cut to the fat man eating in a very disgusting fashion, of course. We even get, like, the point of view where we're seeing from inside his mouth to the outside. So you see, like, darkness in his teeth, and he shoves the sandwich in his mouth. He's like, ah, rah, rah, rah. Look at me, I'm gross, because all fat people are gross. So, no, sorry, I lost my place just because I made fun of that sandwich eating. Okay, I'm sorry. He eats really disgustingly, and then Salvo makes a farting noise, and the fat man tells his goons to throw Salvo in the box, but Bruce and Dan start a fight to protect him. And then Bruce and Dan beat up like a bunch of goons to what appears to be the Roseanne soundtrack. Like, you hear harmonica, they're like... I know, it's a bad harmonica. So he tells his men to throw them into the box instead. To throw Bruce and Dan into the box instead of Salvo. What's killing you is making you stronger. All right, no more singing. Back in Gotham. And Alfred finds the car with the tracker on it. He sees some men getting into a truck. So he rolls underneath and places the tracker on their truck instead. Back in the prison. And Dan and Bruce are in the hot box. Dan says Bruce fought hard, so that maybe he used to be some sort of fighter. So we see the day pass, the sun gets hotter and passes overhead. And Dan is angry because he believes he will die. He's never going to see his son. Dan breaks down and starts yelling about losing his family. And this causes Bruce to go into some sort of trance, which is weird because Dan never even said the name Martha.
Why you say that name? Why you say Martha?
Bruce has a vision of his parents playing with him as a kid, which then turns into their grave, which is broken by bats flying into it, which we see they're flying from a building in which Batman is standing on top of. And what's sad here is that if maybe TMS Studios or Spectrum Studios were doing the animation, I guarantee that scene, that dream scene, would have been... beautiful. It would have been a beautiful sequence. I can see the idea behind it, but sadly, it's not. it's just that the animation's not that well done here. I mean, it's fine. The animation's fine. It's not the worst, except for one scene, which I'm going to point out a bit. But, yeah, I mean, these dream sequences needed something more powerful. So, while I think the idea here is really great, it's less than stellar animation. It just takes everything away from it. So, you know what? I'm going to go on another side note here that probably belongs in the But Batman segment. I know I criticize the animation on the show a lot, and plenty of you are probably like yelling at your iPods or iPhones or whatever you're listening to this to, your computers, and you're probably yelling at me saying, well, I would like to see you do better. What have you ever done? But you know what? That's not the point. My animation would probably be on par with this episode's, or probably like I've Got Batman in My Basement or Clayface Part 1. This show has some very top-notch animation in plenty of episodes. And so many, in fact, that many people remember every episode looking as beautiful as, you know, for example, Heart of Ice or On Leather Wings or Clayface Part 2 or Two-Face Part 1. Nostalgia glasses blurs our vision. So I like to point out things as they really are. Because, believe me, before I started reviewing all this, in my head, every episode was super beautiful and beautifully animated. But when you sit down, you start taking notes on this, you really do notice a lot of the quality going, fluctuating throughout the series. Okay, back to the show. Bruce breaks free from the box by kicking it open, and he runs away into the desert. So the guard sounds the alarm, and they chase after him with dogs. Now, this scene is the perfect example of the low-rent animation I was talking about earlier. The scene is three men with dogs chasing Bruce, and it is a perfect side profile of the men. It's supposed to look like it has perspective on it, meaning that the guy closest to the camera is bigger, and the guy farther away is smaller. And I don't know what the specific problem here is. Maybe the shading's not done right, or they're just not, they're maybe drawn too flat to give that perspective look. But everyone looks to be in the same plane, but different sizes. So the guy in the middle is like enormous, like the size of the screen. But the guy in front and the guy in back of him look like Smurfs. And then the dog in front of him is huge, but the dog behind them looks so small that he seems like he's going to be crushed by the man's boot. So I put up a picture of it in our Facebook group. So remember, if you join our Facebook, look for I'm Batman, the podcast. Be sure to join. You can still be part of our contest. And I put the picture up there for all of you to decide for yourselves whether I'm exaggerating or not. Okay, I'm sorry, I'll stop now. Bruce runs into a canyon, and he is cornered by the dogs. So he starts climbing in between like a chasm. And at this moment, Alfred shows up flying the Batplane. And it seems that the Batplane has no seatbelts because Alfred is just comically tumbling inside as the plane swings back and forth. And then we get this exchange. I'm going to play this because it's just odd.
This must be the place. Bring us down.
Negative.
But Master Bruce is down here. We have to land.
Impossible. Area 2 confines.
Land, you buckets of bolts.
Your funeral.
Oh, dear.
Yeah! Yeah. So it seems that Batman has programmed the Batplane to be a huge jerk. I wonder if he programmed his other vehicles to do that. To just be sarcastic and jerks. So the plane auto-lands and Alfred falls out of it. And Bruce sees the plane and he walks toward it. And okay, this is where this episode just really falls apart for me. Just a few minutes ago, the dogs and the guards were hot on Bruce's trail. And sure, he climbed that chasm, but I'm sure they would have found a way to follow. And then the Batplane landed. And it made a huge racket, like breaking rocks and slamming into walls. But nobody seems to notice this but Bruce. Also, we cut to nighttime now, where it seems several hours have passed. And wasn't Dan in the hot box losing it and about to die? Bruce never rescued him. He left him there. So is Dan still in the hot box? He's just like frying in the desert? And also, what's Alfred doing? Is Alfred just sitting in the Batplane? Or did Batman send the Batplane home and then had it sent back via remote control? Not exactly sure what happened to Alfred there. But anyway. The fat man is eating like a slob when his men start screaming about a giant bat. And then Batman shows up dragging two guards. He tosses them into Fat Man's table. So Fat Man and his guards grab guns and chase after Batman, who runs into the mines. Very bad editing happens here. We see Batman jump down an elevator shaft as all the guards chase him, but stop right at the edge of the shaft. And then the next scene is Batman's leg kicking a minecart toward the elevator, which now contains the Fat Man and all his thugs. But how did they get there? The elevator wasn't up when the guys ran there. They were down, and if it was facing a wall, then how did they get... You know what? Forget it. I'm sorry. Too much here. Fat Man orders the lights in the cave to be turned off, but how is this an advantage? He says it's to see if the bat can see in the dark, but then they all turn on their little flashlights on the top of their helmets. Since it's like pitch black, doesn't that mean that now Batman has the advantage? Because he can clearly see where they all are thanks to their little lights giving their position away. So anyways, Batman beats up all the thugs to the sound of the harmonica. And I mean all of it. He beats up like 10 people. Fat Man tries to run away, but he trips, which causes his lantern to spill and start a fire near the TNT containment. Because, of course... Batman tosses the Fat Man into a water slide where I guess all the gold is transferred, and he then jumps in himself, and then the entire mountain like explodes and collapses as Batman and Fat Man fall into the river below. This might be a good time to remind you, listeners, that Batman left about 10 or 12 unconscious men inside that mine. You know, the mine that just exploded and caused an entire mountain to collapse. Yeah, there was at least 10 to 12 people. Although, to be fair, we're not sure if Batman killed them beforehand, so they might be dead before the explosion. Either way, they're not alive after that. And I point that out because people get really upset about Batman killing people. He's always done it, folks. But anyways. Batman saves Fat Man from drowning and then captures him and sends him to prison, I guess. So we're back in Gotham at the homeless shelter, where Dan is offering Bruce and Salvo a place to stay. And Salvo accepts, but Bruce declines the offer. He sheepishly tells the guys that he is Bruce Wayne, and that he can help them to get a job if they like. So then Bruce gets in his limo and leaves. Then Salvo tells Dan to hit him, and Dan says why. And Salvo says, because maybe I'll lose my memory and wake up a millionaire too. The end. Alright, so some after show notes here. The animation was done by Dong Yang Studios, and it's not really good. At one point, it even looks like the old Scooby-Doo cartoons, but, you know, without any of the charm, as I pointed out earlier. The villain of this episode is named Boss Biggest, and we only know that from the credits. He's actually never named in the episode. Not until you reach the credits, you find out his name is Boss Biggest. He was a villain created for this episode only, just like last week's villain, Nostromus. And I couldn't find any comic book origins. You know, he is a bit better than Nostromus. Just because I guess he's like at least a physical threat, but not by much. Because he's just a really big, fat, obese guy. Never really fights Batman. He shoots at him with a gun. So, I don't know. It's just another one-dimensional bad guy who Batman should have beat in, like, less than a minute. For some weird reason, Richard Mole, who is the actor voicing Two-Face, makes a cameo in this episode. Can you guess as which character? Not the villain. No, Richard Mole, the voice of Two-Face, who we're going to see throughout the series quite a bit. He voices the sarcastic Batplane computer. So that's just really odd. Salvo Smith, the wisecracking comedy piece of this episode, was actually briefly seen in an earlier episode of the series. In the episode Appointment at Crime Alley, we see several people picketing outside Daggett's court hearing, and one of those people is Salvo Smith. And I think I actually did point that out during that episode. And you know what? Sadly, this is the second episode in a row that is just utterly bland. And as the title suggests, it's quite forgettable. Alright, so it's time for a new segment, but Batman, not much to gripe about here. I think I kind of did it all throughout the episode. The animation is not the best. The plot is just really lame. I really can't stand the music in this episode. It reminds me a lot of the episode The Last Laugh with the way out of place cowboy sounding theme. And I get that this harmonic high tune fits the theme and setting, but it doesn't fit the show. It's just really odd. Like I said, every time I hear it, I feel like I'm about to start watching Roseanne. It's never specified where the prison is located, but it seems very Texas-like or New Mexico-like. So was Bruce taken far from, or does Gotham have like a local desert on the East Coast? Or, my guess, this is just another wing of the Ace chemical plants.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, everybody. It's time for the Batcave Archives, and that is the segment where we rate each episode as we review them. We are 23 episodes in so far. At number 1, we have Heart of Ice, the Mr. Freeze origin. And at number 22, we have last week's episode, Prophecy of Doom. So where would I rank this specific episode? This is one of the bad ones. It belongs at the bottom of the list, way at the bottom. I think, man, it's a hard one because I've got Batman in my basement. It's a bad episode because of the kids. They try to give you that Home Alone kids vibe. Prophecy of Doom, I thought, was just boring with a lame villain. This episode, I think it's, again, a carbon copy of Prophecy of Doom, where it's a lame villain, boring episode, lame story. I think I might put it a notch above Prophecy of Doom, only because we do get those interesting dream sequences. That's about it. Number 22, our new number 22, The Forgotten. All right, and I think that's going to be it for this week's show. Remember, everybody, be sure to go to our Facebook page and join our group. Look for I'm Batman, the podcast. All the members of the group will be automatically entered in the contest for the cereal box stuffed with stuff. If you send me an email with your name and location, you will be entered as well. So I'm going to be putting up a really short side episode reading the list of names of all the entrants. If you don't hear your name, let me know. Send me an email, post a message on the Facebook, or send me a direct message on Facebook. I'll add you. If you still want to join, you still have time. I will be taking entrants up until Thursday. I believe it'll be June 30th. Will be next Thursday. June 30th will be next Thursday. That's up to when I will be taking entrance. If you haven't joined by then sorry, you're not going to be in. July 1st, I plan to do a live episode of the podcast. I'm doing a live episode now for those of you listening. You could probably go to our Facebook page and see the footage there. I'm doing it live now just to see if there's any bugs that might pop out, anything unexpected. So I'm doing that now as a test. But I will be doing it July 1st as well. As I mentioned, I will draw the name of the contest winner in that episode. We'll find out who won the cereal box stuffed with stuff. And also, I'm not going to be reviewing the next episode of the show. I will be reviewing instead the 1966 Adam West Batman theatrical release. It's a really fun movie. I'm pretty sure your guys are going to have a lot of fun hearing about it as much as I will watching it. I've seen it before. It's a hilarious movie. It's just fun. That's all I can really say about it. And I will be doing a review of it on July 1st next week. Remember, if you want to enter or if you just have any suggestions, questions on the show or on the episode, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Any suggestions, show ideas, you know, maybe there's something you'd like to hear me review that I haven't thought about. So give me show ideas if you have them, or just any suggestions. Maybe there's something that really annoys you that I do that I don't really know about. So maybe I can try to fix that, or you want to just say like, hey, you know, good job. I enjoy listening to you on the bus ride to work or something. So everybody, thank you for listening. And I've been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from and no matter who you are, we are Batman.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman. It's really exciting. Soon, very soon, Batman and I will be batapulting right out of your TV sets and onto your theater screens.
That's right, Robin. Our first full-length motion picture feature in color opens a whole new world of thrills. The big screen gives us more space on land, sea, and in the air to challenge the most bataclysmic collection of super criminals that ever plotted to take over the world.
Number one, the Riddler. Question, who's going to make the feathers fly and knock Batman and Robin out of the sky? Number two, the Joker.
Have you heard this one? It'll kill you, Batman.
Number three, the Penguin.
There are two eggs this wily bird is going to scramble, Batman and Robin.
Number four, the Catwoman.
Oh, you're going to see the perfect crime when I get Batman in my claws.
And that's just a sample of the exciting exploits ahead in our first feature motion picture.
Holy memoranda, folks. Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
What doesn't kill us is making us stronger. We're gonna last longer than the greatest wall in China. Hold that rabbit with a drum. If there's one thing that I learned while waiting for my turn, it's that in each life's a rainbow, but you also get some sun. And we'll make out better than okay. You know what I